Blog Talk Radio. All hail the street queens and all that we stand for, man. Introducing the street queen. Let's go.
Let's live in the building, man. You know I'm knocking out two shows in a row. You know I have Ruly.com. Shout out to www.ruly.com, the hottest eyewear in the industry, man. You know how we do each and every Thursday, same place, same pace. You know we do our 1-2, man. Street Queens, the movement. Our topic today is the state of our children's education, man. It's not a game, man. Real talk. And you know how we do, man. We always got that Street Queens lineup, man. But before we get into it, you know how I do, man. I'm going to ask all of you guys, man, to go ahead and, you know, respect us, you know, as Street Queens. When you come on the line, man, when we go to the phones, you know, every 15 minutes we go to the phones, you got 5 minutes, you know. And we apologize if we don't get to you, man. It's all good, you know. Try to send all of your emails or any other questions that's unanswered to letsradiothemovement.ning.com. And any one of the panelists will check it out. Or, you know, also go to our blogs at Street Queens, the movement, blogspot.com, or email us at streetqueensmovement@gmail.com. Any written, you know, letters, because we're doing an adoptive family, or donations, et cetera, or anything that Street Queens, write us at P.O. Box, Street Queens official P.O. Box, P.O. Box 31512. Capitol Heights, Maryland, 207-31-0512, man. Like I said, no profanity is allowed. If you know, we ask you, you know, and you continue to disrespect, you will get thrown off the air, no exceptions. And like I said, peace and loveness, you know, peace and love. But you know what I'm saying? Like I said, man, the quote of the day is, loving children is our greatest gift. Protecting and educating them is our life's work. This quote was written by our Street Queen panelist herself, Jarvita, doing her thing, man, shutting it down, man, and it is what it is, man. I'm about to go to the lines and make sure that my street panel was live in the building, man. State of our children's education, man. I'm going to the phone. 857, I know that's Toy, man. Peace, Queen.
Yes, Miss Toy is definitely on the check-in. Peace, Queen. Peace to all my queens. Peace to everybody listening in.
That's what it is. And I know that's my girl, Lissette. That's either Lissette or that's...
Hello, Lissette in the house.
What's up, Lissette, man?
Peace, Queen.
How you doing?
That's what it is. Since y'all the first two, man, Latoy, go ahead and get the shout-outs in, and we'll go down
Yay.
The line.
Yay! Well, of course, first and foremost, I always big up all my ladies on the panel, the Street Queens. Shout out to y'all. Hope y'all are having a wonderful and productive week. Secondly, I want to big up my man Polo of Exclusive Fashion at First. I am the publicist for Exclusive Fashion at First. Polo has a birthday today, so we want to give a big birthday shout out to my man P. Happy birthday, Polo. Big P out here doing the thing with Her King. Yeah, you can check him out at www.myspace.com/POTTERJOH. And lastly, I am going to give a big shout-out to all my Boston family, all my friends and family out here doing their thing, keeping it real funky and real fresh. My man RJ the mascot doing his thing. What's up, boy? I see you.
What it is. That's what it is, man. Go ahead, Lissette. Go ahead and give your shout-outs, man.
I want to give a shout-out to you guys, you girls out there listening. I want to shout-out the Street Queens for giving me this opportunity to raise my voice and be heard. So shout-out to you ladies. Great opportunity with you. It's unbelievable. I want to shout-out Capicu Poetry, the Latino Poet Society, who's doing big things for our communities in regards to spoken word poetry. And, of course, I want to shout-out my business partner, the marketing guru, Fesco D-Star of StreetsOnline.com.
That's what it is. That's what it is, man. And we're going to welcome our girl Javita live in the building, man. Javita, peace, queen.
Peace.
Okay.
Let's see. First of all, Lush, I want to give a shout-out to you to say thank you for all your hard work in terms of helping me with the Bears for My Go Fish project with National Adoption Month this month. And to everybody else who hasn't had the opportunity to participate, it's for 1 month only. I'm doing the Teddy Bear Drive for foster and adoptive families. And I definitely encourage you all to do that. I also want to give a shout-out to the Street Queens panel, a warm welcome to Lisette, and happy birthday, Polo.
Polo Clark.
That's what it is.
And that's it. Thank you.
That's what it is. We're going to bring our girl, Felicia Sabree, in the building, man. Sabree.
Hey, everybody.
Peace.
I'm on the road.
What's
going on?
On the road.
I'm under the hair dryer. I'm sorry, ladies.
That's dedication.
I'm like, it's 8 o'clock. I got to call in. It is what it is.
We make it work, don't we?
For real. Shout out to all the queens. Welcome, Lisette. I'm so happy
Thank
that you're a part of the team.
Thank you. So
I want to shout out Music Mania Television, my partner, Seth Boogie, and all the artists that get down with us, everybody that supports us. You know, shout out to Boston, the whole Massachusetts.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Hit us up, musicmaniatelevision.com, or my personal MySpace, Miss Felicia Sabree, myspace.com/FFAB. That's what it is.
That's what it is, man.
Yes.
You see all these women on here? These are bosses, man.
Yes, right.
Nothing but bosses. All of them have their own businesses. They doing big things. They got ambitions. They got stories. They are real women doing real things. You understand what I'm saying? I don't play with bankers. I play with bosses. You heard me? It is. So, you know. But Emma says she's going to be running a little bit late. She said she might call it within 10 minutes or so. CG has a photo shoot, but you know you in spirit, and we love you, CG, you know what I'm saying?
Doing big things.
So we're going to still keep it moving. But like I said, I established the rules, man. Anybody that calls in, every 15 minutes we go into the post, and you got 5 minutes. If we don't get to you, you know, we're sorry. We apologize in advance, and we love you, and we thank you for your participation. Call in at 347-826-7722. You know what I'm saying? And we're getting into this one right here is an open forum. And we're talking about actually, you know, the state of our children's education. And the discussion is the stereotypes of being accomplished opposed to being white. Basically, like speaking with proper grammar. If you speak with proper grammar, people label you as being white, or people label you just because you're trying to excel, or they say you're too smart, that you're quote-unquote white. What is being white, you know, along with the whole situation of Ebonics? How do you feel about that situation? We're going to go around down the line, you know, with my queens, man, because, you know, they got first dibs on that. Toy, how do you feel about that, man?
I think that overall it's an unfortunate situation that the stereotype has been set and the standard has been set to demean our culture, you know, as being ignorant or uneducated, and kind of sold the idea that it's okay to sound like you don't, you know, you've never been to school or you're not, you know, weren't chosen to speak properly. I think that a lot of children nowadays just try and sound just like the rest of their peers. You know what I mean? The music has a lot to do with it as well. But I, as a parent, always encourage my children to expand upon their vocabulary, because I personally think that knowledge is very important. When you step out and you're speaking clearly and you know exactly what you're talking about and you're using the words in context, you get respect from those people that are on a higher level. It has nothing to do with being white, black, Hispanic, you know, Asian, African. It's irrelevant. It's about education, and everyone needs to take a stand and really get to know what it is you're talking about. Don't get on the phone talking about yeah, you know, saying the complexities of the situation and trying to sound like you know what you're talking about, and you really don't.
And you don't know what you're talking about.
Don't have a clue what you're talking about, sounding stupid. And it's embarrassing.
Willacoochee, Alabama. Willacoochee, Alabama.
Yeah, okay, old boy, you know what I'm talking about. You know, we try to do what we can't do, you know what I'm talking about. Like, no. No. It's like, seriously, up north, you know, people say the people of north talk proper, and, you know, we do. That's because it's just part of, like, our culture. But it's like people down south, they have a little twang to their voice, and that's all good, too. But you can be from the south and still speak properly, right, Javita?
Exactly.
Right, Javita got that cute little southern twang, and she speaks very properly. And all of the ladies on the panel are very educated, and we know how to pronounce our words properly and use them in the right context. So, come on, man, we got to step our games up.
I feel like, as a minority, like, and I don't like to use that word minority, but it is what
either.
It is. People look at us and say, well, here's a Hispanic, here's, you know, a black woman. And I feel we got to work extra hard. We have to work extra hard to make it known that not only can we throw down in the kitchen, but we could throw down with our vocabulary. We can throw down in the business office. We could throw down anywhere. And I'm tired of people looking at, you know, certain groups like we can't achieve anything or we can't express ourselves a certain way. People expect us to have accents. They expect us to have a limited vocabulary, and it's really sad.
Yeah. I mean, in English class, y'all got to pay attention, man. Learn them vocabulary words.
Yeah. So, Javita, how do you feel about that, Javita?
I mean, I feel that it is very unfortunate that we tell our children that it's important to go to school and have an education, but when they have that opportunity, they're not taking it, when people have died for that right. And when you talk about Ebonics and that being the Africa, quote-unquote, African-American dialect language, that is not true. When this country was founded, it was founded by the prisoners who came over here to settle in the different colonies, and then eventually the other immigrants came in from Europe and around the world. Ebonics is not something that should be glorified or anything like that, because like it was stated earlier, you know, it's degrading and demeaning and meant to sound like we are uneducated and are unable to form a complete thought. And that is something that needs to be changed, that it is okay to pronunciate yourself and to sound well. And if you're interested in trying to sound like more like a minority, whether it's a Hispanic or African American or even Native American, what you need to do then is take a course in your natural biological, you know, language. Like learn how to speak a language from your native country. And that way you in touch with your roots and not sounding ignorant, because you wouldn't want to hack your native tongue, just like you shouldn't want to hack that. You shouldn't hack the one that you've grown up with.
Right.
So it's all a matter of a mind state and how we perceive ourselves. And we have to, it starts in the home. Education definitely starts in the home. And training our children to do better begins in the home. And we have to definitely stop trying to get other people to do that for us.
Yeah, and I mean, just if I can add one quick point. Javita brought out a good point. I mean, parents, look at how you speak to your children. I mean, if you talk to them in slang, they're going to speak in slang. If you talk to your children and degrade them, they're going to degrade others. It's all about how you set the foundation for them. If you set a foundation for learning and achieving, you know, knowledge, they're going to pursue that. They're going to reach for that, and they're going to achieve it. But if you just don't, oh, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, just really talk to your children in a proper way, and they're going to talk properly. That's what I think.
That's the truth. Man, Felicia Sabree, how do you feel about that? I know you under the dry on.
Can you all hear? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay. Well, you know, speaking of, you know, stereotypes and stuff, me, I actually grew up with four other white girls. Like, these were my best friends. We danced together all my 14 years. I grew up, been in their households with their parents, and I was always referred to as the white girl because I spoke proper. But I mean, I spoke proper because I wasn't stupid, but I spoke I mean, I guess you want to call me, you could call me a white girl, whatever you want, because I was actually hanging around with them. that I can say from being in the household with them and seeing how their parents talk to them. You know what I mean? It is proper. Their parents were educated. They're educated. So, you know, back to what, you know, Toy and Javita said, it does come from the home. You know, unfortunately, you know, the whites are the majority, and, you know, they're very successful in this country, and it does come from the home training. But we want to change that. We want our race to build. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. What I don't understand is, what exactly is being white? You know, that's what I don't understand. Like, we put the label. What is wrong? When does society state to us people that that being an American, being a minority, as they say, if they put that on a person from another culture, why is it that if we strive to succeed, if we strive to articulate ourselves, strive to set an example and a standard to succeed, we are labeled as or not being within our culture, acting better. Why shouldn't we? People died for us to get education.
Mm-hmm.
Allow us to read. Do you know at one time they wouldn't allow, foreigners to read?
That's serious right there. Like, you weren't entitled to education. What are you if you can't even talk or speak English and correct grammar? You ain't going to get nowhere in this country.
You know, yeah. Children learn by example, and what parents don't realize is that they're actually their child's first teacher. And a lot of the parents leave, you know, the regular 9-to-5 teachers to educate their children, and parents need to really realize that little ones are very, you know, they have impressionable minds. And whatever happens in the home is really going to impact them some way, somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like acknowledging the fact that my child is looking at me 24/7, so I have to be careful not to curse and not to use Ebonics and carry ourselves with that reminder every day. You know,
they want to be just like you.
They're watching me, and they want to be like me. And a lot of people don't realize that. They don't realize that. As obvious as it may be, it's not something that they pick up. I've seen. I mean, I work in a music/dance school, and the stuff that I see in there is sad, man. It's very sad.
It's true, and I also work in the high schools with the students, and you see the way that, I mean, half of the things that I see children do to teachers, I would never in my mind, in my have them to do half of the things they would say to a teacher. You know, but they don't try that with me because they know I don't play that. But the thing about it is, I tell them, I said, look, man, no teacher in here is going to tell you what I'm telling you. You need to prepare for your future as we speak, okay? Because the United States of America, they say it's a land of opportunity, but it is once you take it and seize the moment. You can't sit here stagnating and say, oh, demand this or demand that. You are divinely gifted to take and seize your destiny to whoever you want to be. You must be the creator within yourself. And parents, I stress to you, parents, you must instill in your children the knowledge that they need. Because even in the history, parents need to teach their children their history. A lot of people know their history. A lot of them do not know that people had blood, sweat, and tears in order for them to be able to go to school and able for them to be able to go out and get a job, okay? You know, and people need to appreciate the fact that you are able to read, because some people can't actually read.
Yeah, you can't read.
You know?
Mm-hmm. These high school kids.
People can't read.
These high school kids really need to take high school serious. And I know, you know, we were talking about high school being a fashion show. Like, because for real, when you get out of high school, it's the real world. Like, do what you got to do. Get involved if you're in high school. You know, if you're singing or dancing, get involved in talent shows. You know, do extracurricular activities. Get involved in school. Be proud of your school. Show school pride. I mean, when I was in high school, you can ask anybody. Like, I was the one at every basketball game. I was the loudest one in the stands all the time. Like, it was serious. But, you know, education is important. Really, really pay attention in class because y'all going to regret it down the line.
I agree. I mean, I'm sorry. I think one of the most important things, and I'm speaking out right now to all the people that are in middle school, high school, thinking about going into college. And, yeah, middle school, you do start thinking about college. It's this. It's all about this. You can play with your friends. You can laugh, joke. But the most important thing that you go to school for is to take in all that information because it's tools, and you use it
mm-hmm.
for your benefit. You have to break down those barriers that have been set up for you. It's going to be a hard fight once you step out of high school and you're out in the real world, and then there's no more excuses.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot sit around and keep saying, well, I didn't know, because if you don't know, you won't know. You got to get out and find out what life is all about.
Sometimes
yeah.
I feel like it's not a coincidence that the school system is so jacked up. Like, I don't know, but something in me tells me that it's supposed to be messed up, that something somehow, something out there is just, you know, set for
well,
us so we can fail. I don't know if it's just me.
Because they shouldn't allow failure,
no.
it, and they do. They let you drop out of school, like, they should put you in jail, like.
In jail.
That's what I mean, think about it.
Think about it. I mean, we live in a very racist country, whether people want to admit it in 2008 or not. We live in a very
mm-hmm.
racist country. And it only makes sense for people that want their own people to excel. Somebody has to fail. Okay? So if we are very lax days ago about teaching our own children, taking responsibility for our own children, then we have nobody to blame but ourselves. Am I right or am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. You're right. And on that note, Toy, ladies, hold on the line. We're going to go back into our next, but we got to go ahead and pay these bills and do what we do real quick, and we're going to come back, all right? And if guys, if you're listening in, calling at 347-826-7722, speak on it, man. We're about to go to this commercial real quick.
Y'all want to get your stunner shades on? Want to get the hottest glasses worldwide exclusive? Holla at Rooley.com, www.rooly.com. Holla at them official sponsors of Lush Radio. It's not a game. I got my stunner shades on, and I'm doing my 1-2, man. Holla at Rooley.com. It's not a game. Go check out the website, man. You're going to be impressed. Tell them Lush sent you, man. It's not a game, man. I got my stunner game on. Do you? If you're looking for official management, man, look no further. Your man, Mr. DJ Finesse, a.k.a. DJ Mason Storm, has the hottest management group worldwide, Mace Management Group, LLC, doing it now. If you're an indie artist and you're looking for somebody to have your best interest and have that street credibility, man, it's your man, DJ Mason Storm, DJ Finesse, Mace Management Group, man, shutting it down, man. Also, man, if you're a producer and you need somebody to manage you, holla at your man, Mason, man. It won't stop. We can't stop. Bad Boy, the official DJ of Bad Boy, shutting it down. Also, if you need DJ services, holla at your man, man. It's nothing but exclusive stuff out here, baby. Holla at your man, Mason Storm, at www.myspace.com, Bad Boy, with an S, official, OFFICIAL. DJ, Bad Boy's official DJ, man, shutting it down, or holler man his email at chosen1369@AOL.com. It's not a game, man. Yeah, this is your girl, Lushy Lush, and I'm just telling you, man, if you want nothing but the exclusive fashion, nothing but custom-made jackets, from furs to shoes to boots, anything you want to make you feel sexy, we have exclusive fashion and furs. Yeah, holla at exclusive fashion and furs at www.myspace.com. Exclusive fashion, the number 4, real. Or www.myspace.com/PotterJar. PotterJah. Or call them at 860-777-6578. And baby, if it's not exclusive, it's not fashion. It's your girl, Lushy Lush, man. Did you ever think about picking up a magazine to see nothing but the hottest ladies that's doing hot things in the industry, from models to business owners? We trying to find out the beauty outside and the beauty within. So if you thought about that, pick up E2K Magazine at www.myspace.com/E2K Magazine or www.everything2.com or email them at E2KMagazine@gmail.com, man. It's nothing. Holla at your girl, man. Pick up E2K Magazine and support them in their movement, man. Like Nike say, just do it. All hail the street queens and all that we stand for, man. Introducing the street queens. Let's go.
Yeah, man. It's your girl, Lushy Lush, live in the building, man. And you know each and every Thursday, same time, same place. Street queens, the movement, the sisterhood, man. Show with women empowerment, doing that 1-2, dropping them dimes and them jewels for you, man. Get your pens and your pads. Topic of the day is the state of our children's education, chapter 2, man. I got all my street queens live in the building. Peace to Hip Hop Our Way. They live in the chat room doing their 1-2, man. They got nominated for an award for Velocity Magazine. Heard, man. I got your girl, Lissette Lissette, Toy, Jarvita, Felicia Sabri, your girl, Emma E2K, live in the building.
Peace,
queens. Yep.
Peace.
Yes. Yes.
Hello.
How you doing, girl?
Hello.
Everything good? Everything good, girl? I can hear you, girl. Static back there, though.
On my phone?
Up, yes. Somebody joined. It was sounding real crazy over there, yo.
No, I'm inside. That sounds like outdoors. I'm inside.
You know what? That's me under the dryer. I'm sorry.
See, the blame is on me.
I know, because I moved the phone to the other ear and it stopped. My bad.
What it is. So this what it is, man. We just talked about, you know, the stereotype of people saying, quote, unquote, you being white because you're trying to excel and articulate yourself, you know, and just trying to, you know, make us assume that we speak Ebonics and long to be educated, man. Next topic is, man, learning the different styles and the different methods of learning, man. A lot of people state that, you know, our schools are conformed in a certain learning style for us to actually fail, you know, but if people as a people know and are aware and know that we have different styles of learning and there are schools that are available for you, for your children. I'm going to, first of all, educate the people if they don't know the different styles of learning. The different styles of learning are auditory learning. They must hear it, lectures, teaching, word of mouth. Visual learner, reading it in a book. Kinesthetic is a hands-on learner, okay? Different schools geared towards this. Some schools are just geared towards and auditory. Majority of the major schools are, but there are also schools that are geared towards kinesthetic learners and visual learners, which they call Montessori schools. And you can always Google it up and check in your area. They have Montessori schools. Our assignment that the young ladies had this week was to check in the area to see if they were able to find actually were there some Montessori schools. What do they offer children in their state? Toy, what do they have in your state? You're in Boston, right?
Yeah, I'm in Boston, Massachusetts. And one thing that we discussed, the street queens, everyone, is that Boston, Massachusetts, and Massachusetts in general has wonderful educational opportunities from preschool to college. I mean, there's just a broad range of schools here, and we do have a lot of Montessori schools in Massachusetts. I did a search, and I found over 50. I mean, there's a lot. I could name them, but there's too many to name. I personally looked into a Montessori school for my son called Kingsley Montessori, and it's a wonderful program. I went and I visited, and basically what I saw is that the way that the school is set up is, you know, there is one big classroom, you know, per grade, and there's usually two teachers per grade. And well, my son's obviously in kindergarten now, but what they do is they have different stations set up for the children. And the children, based upon their interests and their learning style, can go into the different sections and focus on that one topic for the day. So if they're in the cooking section, they want to learn about, you know, cooking and the tools that you use to cook or whatever the case may be, they can spend, you know, a good portion of the day in there, and the teacher educates them about that. So what essentially happens is that the children not only, you know, get to see, hear, and touch, so it incorporates the three styles of learning so that the child maximizes their experience. And I think it's really a good program, but some people don't think that Montessori schools are effective. It's all about the parent's choice, you know, and what they think is what's best for their child.
And that's what it is, man. Lissette, what are the options they have in New York? Because you're in New York right now. What options do they have over there right now?
I got to be honest. I did a search, and I didn't find anything aside Catholic public schools and some vocational schools. I don't know if it was the search that I did, if I have to refine it, but I didn't come across a lot of stuff. I do know one thing in regards to creative arts. I think it goes hand in hand with, you know, regular school. I noticed that the Positive Youth True program at Mind Builders in the Bronx, which is a creative arts center, their grades are actually pretty good because they're actually coming in doing theater work, they're doing dance, they're doing hip-hop and, you know, creative writing. And when they go back to school, they kind of apply that leadership. So I think that it's very important to have creative arts part of their curriculum, you know, after-school activities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I come across. I'm actually an artist myself, so it's like growing up, if I didn't have the arts,
mm-hmm.
I think I would have strayed from actually graduating high school.
That's a good point, Lissette.
You know what I mean?
Music is the best way of teaching. Very good way of teaching.
That's true. Javita, you're in Georgia.
Wait, pause. Lush. Hold on 1 second. It's Toy. I hate to cut you off, but I just wanted to give a little bit of insight for people in New York because Lissette had, like, a hard time finding some schools. If you're in the New York area and you're interested in Montessori programs for children in New York, you should log on to www.about.com. It's ABOUT.com, and they have a listing of, like, over, I don't know, there's tons. I mean, in Manhattan, everywhere, New Rochelle, Ithaca, Jamaica, Janesville, Kingston, LaGrangeville. I never even heard of any of these places, but they have the Manhattan Montessori Academy, which is on Central Park, whatever.
Wow.
So there's a lot of different programs, you know, for all you New Yorkers, man. Look out there, do your knowledge.
I'll definitely spread that.
It is. Javita. In Georgia, man, what options do they have over there for the schools, man?
Well, we do have some Montessori schools that are very spread out here, but we are just now getting some Montessori schools. Now, we do have a lot of private facilities that you can take your child to in terms of private schools, and even I know in the next town over, there's even a school for children who have autism disorder. So we have, you know, some autism schools actually as well here. Basically, it like was stated earlier, it does depend on the parent and what they have in mind for their children. And the best thing to do is to actually get out before it's time for your kids to enroll in school and actually check out the different options that are available. And even before then, you should definitely get into some of the different programs. Now, I know the state of Georgia doesn't have freedom schools, but I do know that some areas do have freedom schools, and freedom schools work well, too. And if you're planning on schooling your child from home, Abeka Books is an excellent way to go because your professor is on video or CD. So there are options out there for them to use that deal and address with the different types of learning because it's very important that you look at that, especially for minorities, because your average public school system is for the visual learner. which explains all of the reading and books and assignments and things, and it's not really geared towards the auditory or the kinesthetic learner who's the hands-on learner. And that's very important for parents to keep in mind, that the percentage of students more likely in Caucasian families tend to be about, you know, more like 70% or so are visual learners. Now, that varies from place to place, but it is important for you to keep that in mind when you're looking at the public school system and how it is set up to run, and that it's not designed to deal with auditory learners, people who need to hear lectures and things more than once and to have their books put on tape for them, or more hands-on activities need to be enforced in public school systems as well. And in schools globally, that way it is possible for the child to have, again, a well-rounded experience and success.
Yeah, and that's true right there, man. Felicia Sabree, you're in Boston also. I don't know.
No,
if
actually,
guys,
I'm in Worcester.
Okay, you're in Worcester. What
yeah,
what
I live 40 minutes
have over there.
You know, Toy summed it up pretty much for the state of Massachusetts, but in my city, you know, there's a significant amount of private schools, private schooling, charter schools, the high school, vocational schools, accelerated programs. But the thing is about, like, you know, getting education outside of the public school system is there is a budget. Like, there's, you have to pay, and you also have to take a test to get in. Because I know when I had went to private school for my seventh grade, and I actually had to take a test and get in. You know what I mean? So it's not like, even if the parents, you know, wanted that for their children, can they afford it? Is their child going to be able to pass that low bar exam to get in the school? You know what I mean? There's, like, so many steps to get into those special schools. But there is a significant amount. There's Holy Name High School. There's St. Peter Marian High School. There's Seven Hills Charter School for the younger ones. My brother goes to that school, actually. He likes it. They actually wear uniforms, too. Some of these charter schools, they put the kids in uniforms, and I know that we were going to actually talk about that, but basically that's it in the city of Worcester. But, the thing is, like, all across the board is, can the parents afford to send their kids? Are there, you know, programs out there, you know, for financial aid and so forth?
And there are. There are programs. I just wanted to add one more thing for the state, you know, of, like, Massachusetts and New England area. When it comes to issues of finances, that's the thing that kind of, you know, veers parents away from looking into private schools and, you know, alternate programs for the children. But what you have to understand is that there are tons of scholarships and grants, even for children in, like, elementary school and middle school, believe it or not. There's tons of programs. And for up here, I would encourage everyone in the New England area to log on to www.aisne.org, which is the Association of Independent Schools in New England. And they individually have their own programs that help, even because it's like, the truth of the matter is that the schools do a lot, like, by state, you know, per state, they're kind of mandated to do certain things for people with low income. So if you're not educated about what your state's laws are regarding that, you may not kind of, you know, take advantage of it. But you have to do the research and find out, because I know for a fact that there's a lot of scholarships and grants that are set aside for people that don't have the money to go into these private schools.
And that's true right there. That's that real talk, girl. Toy, you've been on your job, doggy.
I have children. That's why. I got to know this stuff, boy. Not saying you're going to be the president.
That's right. Yes, he can.
Emma, we can, man. You out in Philly. You're from New York, but you in Philly, man. What kind of options do they got out there in Philly, man?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm going to be honest. I didn't really go into research, but over here in Philadelphia, everything is done online. There are a lot of programs. I mean, I have two children. One that's in elementary and the other one that is in high school. And just the other day, they had report card for the one in high school, and I went over there to talk to them, and I was amazed at how many programs they have to help the children excel and to be on their right grade. They give them the opportunity to go to school, like, at night, and they can go in the weekend as opposed to the summer. They have a lot of charter schools over here.
Wow.
I mean, a lot. They have programs that are called like ROTC. My son is in ROTC, and that's
uh-huh.
like when kids are want to be in the military when once they graduate.
Uh-huh.
And what they do is if you continue to stay in the ROCT program, once you graduate, you automatically pass from being a private. You go into being in a higher position and getting paid more. For
oh,
just
wow.
being in that particular program. My son is in that one. And over here, everybody wears uniform. Like, that's really enforced, whether it's in private. There's a lot of Catholic schools. I mean,
okay.
it's like Felicia had said, it's a lot, but you have this, you have to take, you know, certain exams, and there's certain things that you have to do
mm-hmm.
and maybe classes to take or maybe financially to pay. So mm-hmm. it all depends on, you know, I guess the finances on the family. But there are a lot of free programs, too. I mean, it's available out there. Anybody
okay.
that's in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania can always go to the Philadelphia website or the Pennsylvania website, and everything is on there. Everybody know around this area, everything is, even when you apply for coupons, whatever, everything is done online. Like here, you don't go to no offices. Everything is online. Online and faxing, so that's the best way, just to do a search for Philadelphia, and I mean a bunch of things will come up. It's like numerous things to get into, but there is a lot of education opportunity. That's the reason actually why I moved from New York here to Philadelphia, was for the education of my children. So.
Wow.
www.about.com.
That's what it is, man.
All the school information you need. Perfect.
I'm out here in the DMV myself, you know, and I actually work high school myself. Shout out to Eleanor Roosevelt High School. They doing their thing, man. My student, she's doing a 1-2, getting all them A's and B's. Shout out to my daughter, too. She's doing the A's and B's, and my boyfriend's daughter, Jalila, doing the A's and B's, man. Out here in the DMV, we also do have Montessori schools here, but I don't think that a lot of people in the DMV actually know about the Montessori schools unless they're told about it. Because they really don't, like, publicize it that much. It's optional for people to know about it here in the DMV. Many people are used to their systematic way of, oh, I'm taking my child to the public school and stuff like that because this is what near. And they also have, I don't know if they do it in you guys' states, but they have a zoning thing right now where they're
zoning
people
they're
zoning children to their neighborhoods. And they have to be within that neighborhood to go to that school. But then you have some children, they just want to get that education so bad to get this tech schools because tech schools a little bit better schools than the schools. So sometimes, you know, lie about their address just to get in the school because they want their education, you know. And our public schools here, especially the D.C. schools, are terrible. The D.C. schools... The kids, you got smart kids in the schools, but the government and the county itself in D.C. are supplying these schools. One of the schools, an old school, just got knocked down, and they're not really supplying them with the supply they need. For it to be the capital, they should be supplying these schools. I mean, the doors are coming off the hinges and everything.
Wow.
It's crazy, man. They don't have up-to-date books. You know, even with the school in my at, sometimes, I mean, each county is supplied a budget. They don't get the books and stuff like that. But what we got is we have Montessori schools, but not that many people know about it. We have public schools. The public schools now, they're with uniforms. Some of the tech schools are not wearing uniforms. But majority of the schools have been mandated to wear uniforms. They are wearing uniforms. And we have charter schools, but a lot of the charter schools are mainly, like, in the D.C. area. In the D.C. area. Not a lot of them are in, like, the Maryland area, but we got charter schools there. And it seems like the charter schools, like, they put more money in the charter schools than they do the public schools. They're really nice. I think they're more, like, privately owned. And, like I said, then we got the Catholic schools. Also, so that's what we have right here in the DMV area. I'm going to bring a caller in real quick. 917, you're live on Lush Radio with the Street Queens, man. State your
hey,
business.
Peace, what's up? This is Fresco D-Star of StreetsOfMind.com. I just want to Say what's up to everybody out there on the Street Queens panel listening.
Emma,
what's up?
Hey,
I see you out there also.
Baby.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling the show, and I like the topic at hand. And I just want to say, as a person who lived both in the suburbs and in the city, I can pretty much give you an outlook on the contrast between the schools in both areas. And, one thing that I've noticed is that when I went to school in Kalamazoo, Michigan, I've noticed that there was a lot of extracurricular activities in the schools that we didn't have in New York City. You know, when I was in eighth grade in Kalamazoo, we was learning stuff like Latin. We had computer classes. We had a swimming pool. We had football. Then the second half of the year, I moved back to New York City, and I didn't even have eighth grade math. And the reason why I didn't have eighth grade math was because the teachers kept either getting fired or quitting. And ultimately what happened was they just gave us gym. And that was, I guess, their remedy to that problem. But one thing that I did notice in the schools in the suburbs is, again, the extracurricular activities, the school newspaper, dances, sports. And it's like all those things makes the student feel a part of the establishment. It makes them feel a part of going to the experience, and it gives them an added interest in school, and they don't look for the extracurricular activities outside of school, i.e. the negative things such as gangs, drugs, or whatever else they might get caught up in because they have no other options available at hand. I think a lot of times the schools in the city, because of the budgeting issues, we end up getting the short end of the stick. And it's very unfair, and it all comes down to economics and finance.
Can
you
give us a visual? Can you give us a visual of what your school looked like back in Michigan versus any schools that you came here? Anything that stands out to you in regards to maybe the football field or did you have a football field here? Any visuals that you can give us?
Okay. Well, yeah, I can tell you straight off the bat, going to school in the Bronx, we had bars on the windows. We had metal detectors we had to go through. We had police officers in the school with guns, I might add, you know.
Y'all
in Michigan.
Jail. We're not in school.
Yeah, we're not in jail. So it felt like we was going to an institution instead of a school, you know. Whereas in Kalamazoo, you know, we had an open environment. We had a play football field. And a practice football field. The play football field had its bleachers. The games came out in the community newspapers. Everybody in the town would come by. You know, it's like if there was one high school in the north side of town and there was another high school on the south side of town, it was like we had, you know, the sports rivalries, but it kept the town involved, not only in extracurricular activities, but in their child's education, you know, by participating in the games that the kids were playing in. And again, it comes down to the lack of funding. And what I find is, again, it's finance and economics that's the dividing line between the quality of our children's education. And bringing it back to finance and economics, I think that financial literacy should be implemented within the curriculum in schools, because we can learn reading, writing, and arithmetic, but that means nothing if we don't know how to fill out a balance sheet, you know? Because when we get out of school, our report card is our balance sheet. And if we're not taught during our school ages how to, you know, prepare ourselves financially, it really, you know, it puts us at odds with those that do have those advantages.
And well, I mean, I really appreciate his input. This is Toy speaking. He brought up some very important points, and just one key point that I wanted to bring out before, we go on, is that it seems to me that the suburbs, as opposed to the inner city, the way that they teach our children, it's like the mindset that they give them. Okay, in the city, okay, you said that there's bars on the windows, there's police. That's a mindset. That's the way that they kind of trap our children's minds, kind of put them in a box so that they can't be outside of the box and can't think outside of the box, as opposed to living in the suburbs where there's more free-flowing creativity, self-expression, you know, a balance of, you know, school spirit and education. I had a similar experience as a gentleman that called in with going going to school in the suburbs, and I'm going to keep it real, okay? When I went to school in the suburbs, there was structure. When the bell rang, everybody went from class to the next class, from class to lunch. I moved into Boston. I think I went to one of the worst schools, and there was gangs that I never seen nothing like this in my life because it was like culture shock to me. I had no clue that things like this really happened. Like fighting, kids would go to school only to check in homeroom and leave after third period. Leave right out the front door of the school, out the side door, and just be out. They smoking blunts, they doing whatever they wanted to do. And yeah, we had school police, but the school police were just as scandalous as anything I've ever seen before. So it's unfortunate that, you know, people don't put an emphasis on learning like they do in the suburbs, because in the suburbs, they're going to take care of their children. They're going to make sure that they're strong leaders. They're going to make sure they have, you know, what they need. Even if the town doesn't supply it, they will merge together as communities to pool their resources to make sure that their children succeed, and we need to get the same mindset.
You know, the sad part, a lot of the security guards, I went to a school where it was the same thing, bars and, you know, it just felt like jail. It didn't feel like a learning facility. And the sad part is that a lot of these security guards and teachers were corrupt. They were corrupt also. There was crazy stories about, you know, teachers covering for students and things like that. And, you know, drug use on the location, you know, sex in the staircases and people knowing about it, not reporting it. It's so crazy.
Disgusting.
It's so crazy. It's like this is who we trust in our children to. So, you know, where is the future planning for this? You know, like what's going to happen? What's going
to
happen in regards
to
this?
That as well.
What's happening now? It's not what's going
to
happen. It's what's happening now already, what's been happening with our children, the lack of them coming out of school and learning. Like, that's not an important thing to them. This is what's happening right now, what's been happening for several years now. They come out of there, and even when they supposedly have high school diplomas, supposedly are in college or whatever, it still means nothing because they really didn't learn anything. They were just basically surviving.
Right. You're right.
So
I feel that.
Doing the bare minimum to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
What's often overlooked is that whether you succeed or you succumb to your environment, you are still a product of your environment. It's how you face that environment. But keeping that in mind, if the environment that you're going to learn is set up as an institution, you then in turn become institutionalized, which lowers the morale. And if you go to school with a low morale, feeling like you're going to jail anyway, you're already preconditioned to go down that path. Or,
that's where
you know
think
what I'm
you belong. That's where you think you belong, in a place with bars. It's not cool. I mean, you visit other schools outside of New York, and I'm not saying we don't have any nice schools in New York. I find that vocational schools offer different types of subjects, welding, fashion, you know, culinary arts. If you want to be a pilot, you can actually find vocational schools in New York to kind of, you know, emphasize on what you want to do. But it's just so crazy because you're set in this type of environment, and then you kind of like don't believe that you can be in a better place. You know, the fact that you can go outside the state and see a school with a pool and you know, front lawn and everything is so pleasing to the eye.
Right.
It makes you want to be there.
And that's real talk. But, you know what I'm saying? Thank you, sir. We're going to pull you back in when we move on to the next thing. And we truly appreciate you, brother, for calling in. But you can stand fast for us. We're going to bring you back in regards to the next subject, okay?
Y'all keep doing that.
What it is. The next subject is, man, ladies, all of you guys, you know, you gave great points in regards to the whole situation. Our next subject is standardized tests, semester exams, SATs, MCATs, high school dropout rates, man, social promotion, passing students through grades, even though you know that they haven't met the requirements, man. You know, we have a big situation where we feel like the state exams are geared towards a certain learning style. Do we feel like it should be optional for us to take a written test versus a visual demonstration test where you can actually show that you do understand it, but you just might not be able to interpret it through writing? You know, maybe that would, you know, change the rate of dropout. Maybe if they made the class optional of hands-on versus, you know, a certain style, would that make the children more engaged in class and social promotion? Are people just, you know, showing people favoritism to get them through, to pass them on, but not preparing them for the real world? Ladies, speak on it. Toy, speak on it.
Well, to my understanding, the MCAS in Massachusetts is defined as the Massachusetts Comprehensive Assessment System. So basically it's an assessment of how the overall progress of the schools, the teachers, and their curriculum, you know, combined, if it's being effective. But the problem that I found with the MCAS program is that they put so much emphasis on the math and the science that a lot of the other other subjects are kind of left behind, and they're not putting emphasis on a well-rounded, you know, education plan for the students. And they kind of zoom the kids through it. You know, they organize their curriculum around what's on the MCAS test. And I'm speaking for Massachusetts. I don't know how they do it around in the other cities in Massachusetts, but I'm on the parent council in my daughter's school. And, I mean, these teachers, man, it's MCAS this, MCAS that. And the kids are just, some of them are just kind of get lost. They're like, okay, if they don't get it, the teachers have to keep it moving because the MCAS are coming. And that's not even good, because when I went to school, they put an emphasis on what we were learning. And if we didn't get it the first week, they let it go on into the second week. If we didn't get it the second week, they would keep on drilling it until we got it. But now, first week, they have their whole plan, and everything is geared towards passing that MCAS.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fair to the students at all.
And that's really what it is.
In high school, when I was going to school, we had guidance counselors who had more problems than the next person. They really didn't care about the students. And because of that reason, I didn't really have a, you know, guidance. You know, I didn't have direction. And I never took my SATs. I didn't know how important they were and what role they played in my education, you know, process. I really didn't know. And so I never took it. And it's really sad, because I wonder how many students out there, you know, are assigned these guidance counselors who really don't do anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean,
so
I was wondering. Go ahead, honey. Sorry.
You know, my mother didn't know anything about SAT. She was a high school dropout. I mean, she didn't surpass the ninth grade. You know, how can I expect, you know, the family or my mom to say, hey, go take your SATs, they're important, go to school and not have any guidance in school? I mean, I'm lucky that I went in, you know, into my third and a half year in college, you know, and it was because I said I was meant to be something bigger. I want to do something with my life. I just didn't know how, and I stumbled and I got there, you know, and I'm still learning and I'm still trying to get the, you know, big piece of the pie, you know what I mean?
That's what it is.
Like no guidance at all. And I wonder, you know, do these teachers or guidance counselors really care? New York City is ranking, you know, based on 2004 reports, we're ranking number 43rd on dropout rates. You know,
wow.
So, you know, according to a report set forth by Aaron Ehenhorn, a Daily News staff writer, you know, they're saying that we're ranking 43rd. With the highest, you know, dropout rates, and it's sad. I mean, especially in New York, we got so many, you know, vocational schools. If you want to be an artist, if you want to be a dancer, if you want to be a mechanic, or, you know, fly planes, we have so many schools that can help you out with that. But how is it that we're number 43?
Oh, that's some deep stuff right there, Lissette. And it's a blessing that you picked yourself up, you know, to do what you wanted to do, man, for real.
It wasn't easy.
Jarvita, how you feel about that situation, Jarvita?
I definitely have some strong views on it. As far as the SATs go, I do feel with Lissette, because, you know, I didn't take the SAT either. But the thing is a lot of people don't know, is even if you didn't take the SAT and you've been sitting out, you can go to college after 21. You're not required to take the SAT at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of students,
wow,
and a lot of people don't know that. So you can go back. You know, that's not something that they advertise, that once you get 21, you do not have to take an SAT to go to college. But it is something that you do need to know. You can get in a university at that point, as long as your GPA is good.
Yes, right.
And two, when it comes to semester exams, I feel like that is kind of hard because based on the different learning styles and taking in account for that, and that in order for them to adjust the testing based on what students can and cannot do, each and every student should have an individualized education plan. That's an IEP. And that's basically an assessment where they tell you what type of style you have, what accommodations your teachers and professors need to make in order for you to be successful in school. And I think until they do that and stop making it seem like a stigma and not encouraging parents to do that, until we get to a place where we do that and it's an automatic thing and teachers actually take the time to apply what is in those IEPs, then and only then can we see an effective change in terms of the high school dropout rate, which is outrageous because according to the 1998 study, the national graduation class was 71%, and for white students the rate was 78%, while it was 56% for African-American students and 54% for Latinos. And as far as the state of Georgia goes, where I live, Georgia has the lowest overall graduation rate in the nation. With 54% of the students graduating, followed by Nevada, Florida, and Washington, D.C. Now, Iowa has the highest overall graduation rate with 93%, followed by North Dakota, Wisconsin, and Nebraska. Now, I could go on, and the list goes on, and you can actually look this stuff up in different reports to find out, but it's sad when I definitely come from the state with the lowest graduation rate, and that's because they don't bother to accommodate students. And if you have a learning disability or even just a disability that has nothing to do with your ability to learn like I did with just visual impairment, the public school systems are not capable of making those accommodations for students. And when you look at programs like the homebound programs here, it hasn't been reevaluated and redone in over a century. So,
wow.
Just like what children know about now has changed over the years, so should the teaching styles and approaches to education. And until we address that and insist upon that, we're not going to effectively implement change in the educational system.
You know, I think that there should be a teacher grading system where the class, the students, get to grade the teacher. You know, have kind of like a survey and say, you know, how do you feel
exactly.
Your teacher's doing?
I think if they were to do that, we really wouldn't have no teachers. We don't got no teachers now.
I think they'll get fired.
If they do that,
feel about that situation, Emma? Feel about that, Emma?
You know, again, I didn't study. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't study.
But as a parent.
Right. But that's how I've been freestyling this today. but us three queens, we're not really supposed to talk, you know, until we don't have the proper stuff to back it up. But because I'm a parent, that's the only reason why I could speak right today. But for instance, I have a child with disability in the elementary school, my daughter. And what Javita, what you were saying about the IP. That only the IP, they only do the IP when for kids that have that are either in special ed or have have ADD or have any sort of learning problem. They don't do it for just the regular kids, which they should.
Right, that's what
you know, right, which they should, but they don't. You know, it's sad that they don't. I mean, it's sad that even the kids that do need it, it takes forever for us to get that done as well. School started in September. We're now in November. In September, I submitted papers so my daughter could get reevaluated because, you know, every year they have to get reevaluated, especially when they go into a new school. I'm still waiting for them to evaluate her.
Wow.
And we're in November, and we're ending in November, going in December. She still hasn't been evaluated. So already we're going to go into January, and they still have not evaluated her. So that means they're not giving her the proper things that she needs that's going to help her be more effective in school.
And
again, we're going to be up in January, so next thing you know, she already is going to finish that school. And then it happens every year, every year, every year, every year. So really, what is she basically learning. So, and God forbid I miss a day or two, I don't take her to school right away, I have an ACS case.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? But you're doing more damage to my child than I could ever, leaving her home. Like, so.
It's crazy, man. And that brings us into IEPs, man, individualized education plans, man. IEPs, are they beneficial? And if they're beneficial, how many times do you feel that they should update it? And since Jada actually, you know, deals, I deal with a child that has an IEP. She has ADHD that I work with in the school. I don't feel sometimes the IEPs actually the children they really need to be. Sometimes it kind of puts them in classes they really don't want. A lot of children that have IEPs might use one side of their brain more than a regular child does, and a lot of them are very smart in regards to creativity or more math or science, and it kind of like enables them sometimes, and I believe that some of the schools are really like catering to the IEPs in regards to what the child needs to best get to school, and also with the IEPs, should other children, other than people that they so-called say have learning disability, they do IEPs on every child so they can make sure that they're able to get class system. Women, speak on it. You were the last to go off. Speak on it.
Who, me?
Yeah, speak on it.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it goes back to exactly what I was saying and what Jarvita had touched upon and I just followed, which is that all the children should have IEP. That means that at least the teachers, the staff will take their time to really individually see where each kid is at education-wise and what they and their needs, and to be able to meet their needs. Because half the time, you know, they put some of the kids at their ADD. For example, one of the kids in my daughter's school, she's in special ed. And I want, you know, I go over there and I volunteer because of economy, you know, they're forever having substitute teachers and whatever have you. So, these kids, you have to, you know, stability is very important for them, that they see a constant one person. So I try to go over there as much as I can. There's one child there that is supposedly ADD and can't control herself or whatever, another little girl, but yet, when I go there, I have her sitting down. She sits with me. She, you know, she'll talk, she'll interact, and you will never ever, you know. But the moment that I leave or whatever, you know, if somebody else tries to talk to her, she's all over the place. She's in the closet. She's running around. She's jumping. She's touching whatever. But I think they're just not approaching her appropriately or giving her the tools or the things that she needs in order for her to relax or take that energy to do, you know, for something positive, something else. They just automatically label her, oh, she's ADD because we can't control her. Mm-hmm. But why, when I'm there, I'm not a teacher and I'm not a professional and I'm not a psychiatrist, but I sit down and I speak to her at her level, you know, and I get her to interact and do things that are fun or whatever in the class. So if I can do that and I don't have the college degrees nor the checks, then why can you, as the person that has it, control her? And just automatically label her as ADD or whatever, you know?
Because it's just a paycheck.
Jarvita, speak on it, Jarvita, speak on it.
Well, that's about, you know, getting a paycheck and not wanting to do your job. A lot of teachers, you know, they say, oh, the children don't want to learn, but that's the story. A lot of them do. And you do have, I've even been in situations where the teacher said, oh, because you have a visual impairment, you'll never amount to anything and you won't be able to achieve anything in life. And that is so untrue. You know, just because somebody has, every time a person has a disability, it doesn't mean that they are impaired, and that doesn't give you the right to further handicap them. And when you refuse to give them the best education possible, you are giving them a handicap. And that's why every child needs to have an individualized education plan, because when you have that, it is in writing what this child needs so that each student, regardless of their mental status, can have the right to the best education possible. And that is the importance of getting one. And not only that, to the parents who have IEPs already on their children or getting them, once you have an individualized education plan in place, if that teacher is not implementing that IEP, then she is breaking the law. You know, you have a case against them at that point, because this is stated in writing that these are the requirements that your child needs, and if they're not meeting them, then they are committing discrimination against that particular student. And
they're violating their rights.
Yeah, they're violating their rights, and that needs to be addressed. But that goes back to being an involved parent like Emma. You have to be there and go to school and make sure that they know, hey, you will see me. And until parents begin to be involved in their children's lives and not just accepting whatever the school system tells them, then we're going to continue to see these types of results and forms of discrimination. And that's really why, Emma, they're giving you the runaround with getting the IEP. It's because once you have that, you have power. You have some say. You really have some power and some say in terms of your child's education and how they're being treated. And it's important to keep those up to date, because as a child grows, their learning needs change. And we definitely need to make sure that we address that as it occurs.
And that's true. And that's true. Lisette, how you feel about that, Lisette?
I got to be honest. I'm glad to be surrounded by so many mothers, because I am a mother in training. I have no children. And it's scary. Oh my God, it's so scary. Like, you women are seriously like superwoman, because you guys, you know, like you balance out careers and you balance out having children. You are really teaching me a thing or two about what it means to care about your child's education. I mean, I work in a school, so technically I have 300 kids and I still have my figure. But you know, IEP, from what I understand, is for students with learning disabilities, and you know, it definitely should be extended out to just children in general. I mean, what does the kid like? What do they want to specialize in? What are their interests? Well, you know, I noticed that a lot of kids that come to the music school, they're like, I don't like playing piano, but they're the best dancers, so let's get them in the performing arts, you know. Let's bring that out. Let's bring that out. It's amazing.
That's true, Lisette. Miss Toy, you got children, man. Speak on it, player. Speak on it, queen.
Yes, queen, I got you. I briefly spoke upon this once before, because my daughter wears a hearing aid, and I went into the school at the beginning of the year. Yeah, I am on the parent council because I'm not playing with the school. But I went in and I said, okay, how are we going to get this set up? Because she needs this thing called an FM transmitter, which attaches to her hearing aid, and the teacher wears a little speaker thing in a headset so that when she speaks into the microphone, it's transmitted to my daughter's hearing aid, and the sound is amplified, and she gets the maximum, you know, experience out of the class and doesn't miss anything. They were very, very, very accommodating with that. They made sure she had it. Great. Okay. So then Toy goes in and says, okay, well, I think that we can do an IEP for my daughter, because we found out kind of late that she needed a hearing aid, and her speech, she speaks regular, but whenever a person is, you know, hearing impaired, they have like a slight speech impediment. So I said, well, you know, some schools can offer like a speech therapist that can come in and speak with her. I said, hey, why don't we do an IEP? And it's like the teacher's face froze, like, oh, well, you know, Simone's very smart and she doesn't need an IEP and we don't need that. And I said, well, I think we do. So, you know, I took the steps, and what the teacher said to me before we stepped into the office, she said, well, I think that you should suggest it, because if I suggest it, you know, they might not act upon it as fast as they would if you do, which makes me feel like, just like some of the other women have said, once you demand that IEP, they're mandated by law to follow certain strategic steps to be productive with that child. And if they're not productive, then they are held accountable. And like Javita said, you have a case against them. And I did a little bit of research on the IEP, and there are actual steps. And when I'm looking at it, it looks like there are 10 steps that the school has to follow to have an effective IEP for the child. And it's basically says, you know, once they identify that the child needs an IEP, they evaluate the child, then they decide if the child is eligible. And then once they find that the child is eligible, they set the IEP meeting, then the IEP meeting is held, they write the IEP, the services are provided, the progress is measured, the IEP is reviewed, and at the end of the year, the child is reevaluated to see if going on into next year, they're going to have to do it again. But the problem is, if, and I always say this, parents, if you're lackadaisical about your children's education, you can't imagine if someone does not know your child is going to be even more active and concerned about your child. You got to step up and, you know, do the research. And don't look for someone else to blame. Look within yourself and see what you can do. If you have a couple hours in the week, walk into the school you're on a day when they're not expecting you and watch your child perform in the school. Are they listening to the teacher? Watch from the door. You know what I mean? It's these things that you do that helps your child to succeed. Sit down with your child, steal a good half an hour and say, what are you doing in school? And give your children that drive. They say, okay, my mommy's helping me with my homework. I want to do good because my kids love to come and show me their homework because I get prizes and I get praise and hugs. And it's just, it's all about, you know, setting that foundation, because if your child has special needs and has an IEP, harder for them to be successful. You have to support your children.
You're right, man. And the thing about it is, man, I work with a child that's ADHD. But for real talk, I think a lot of us are ADHD. You know what I'm saying? And they really, like, labeled it, and you know what I'm saying? I know sometimes, like, you know, I can get distracted fast. You know, we all can do that. So it's basically, you know, I feel like, oh, it just takes the time and the effort. My child that I have that I'm assigned to, she had all E's. I took her from all E's to A's and B's this year. What I did was sit down, analyze this child, and watch her movement, watch what she liked, and I realized what were her strengths and what was her weaknesses. No, we know that right now that she had that at that time she had she was unorganized. I got her an agenda book. Her bag was going all over the place. She needed to compile everything within and condense it. So I went and got her a new book bag. You know, we got everything that she needed to condense it to make it cool, more productive for her every single day when she going into school, right? So we sat there. I told her to write down a list of her goals and her short term and long term goals. Every time she accomplished something, we always check it out. I ask her the course of the day, how she's feeling about the day, you know, depression and stuff like that. I told her, I said, look, you can do anything that you can do. The girl is smart, so smart, and people are shocked. And they tell me, how do you do this? It takes time and patience, man. You understand? These are people who have PhDs that are sitting here looking at me like, wow.
You know, Lush, something just dawned on me in regards to ADHD. I mean, back when I was a child, I never heard about ADHD. I mean, none of my friends went through it. I don't know. Maybe I was too young to recognize it. But what pops in my head is the pharmaceutical company, you know, having a hyper child be, you know, called a child who's suffering ADHD. Now we have a name. Now we can medicate it. Now we can medicate it. So I'm wondering, like, the numbers of ADHD is going up.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really that the child has ADHD? Or is it that he's just a hyper kid who needs, you know, a couple of things to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes sense to me that the pharmacies would benefit from, you know, labeling a hyper child with ADHD when in actuality he's just probably too smart for that curriculum.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just the tone. Let me say, sometimes it's just the tone of voice that you use with the child that you can just simmer down with you. Maybe, you know, they do. You got to understand, like, where the kids are coming from. Kids, you know, they don't really have, they can articulate properly. So they find ways in their behavior. So you have to find out, why is this child acting like that? You know, is it? It doesn't always have to be mental. It could be just because maybe you're a teacher that shouts a lot and then I used to, you know, loudness like that or screaming or whatever it is, but it's just taking out a little bit of the time just to find out what's in that child's head. And it's hard because if you have 30 kids, 30-something kids, right. If you have 30 kids, 30-something kids, if you have 30-something kids in the class, it's really hard for you to take out the time to individual because you still have to teach the class. So, I mean, you know, it's a lot, but that's when the parents really have to get more involved, because you can't rely on just one person that has 30-some kids to give that individual time like you're supposed to be given.
But
I mean, we got to take our responsibilities, too.
But, like, with Emma, what you were saying in regards to that, I've been in the class with 30 kids because I actually subbed also and stuff. And I analyze each one of the kids, who's trying to just act like they just want to fit in or who's not trying to really be who they really are. Or
right.
who really is acting up because he really can't read that good, and in order to cover that up, he's going to act class, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I've analyzed these children in the classroom. All it takes is just the time. Most of these kids act up because they really can't read, and they're scared to tell it because they don't want to do it. A lot of them respect me. A lot of them respect me. They be like, oh, Mr. Du, how do you spell this? Or, Mr. Du, does this sound right? And these are the kids that they say act up, don't ask me. Or even the teachers can control them in the class. But when I come in, they respect me because I can relate to what they're doing. Or what. All they got to do is channel their energy into something they like. And the children, the teachers make it more interactive. It would be less dropouts. A lot of these kids get frustrated. A lot of the kids get frustrated because they can't really express themselves. And on that note, how do you guys feel about No Child Left Behind, the dress codes, the uniforms, and zero tolerance plan, short term and long term? Javi is going to talk about the short term, long term of the no policy. But how do y'all feel about No Child Left Behind and the dress code? Toy, how do you feel about that?
Hold on one second, Lush. I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I was just making sure. My phone was giving me some problems. I guess I can begin by saying that I personally support the idea of uniforms in the schools. I think it's a wonderful idea because it takes the emphasis off what you're wearing and redirects it towards, you know, education and learning. I think it's very important. The kids nowadays, they think it's a fashion show. They coming in with the new J's. They got the new True Religions, Rockin' Republics. They fresh. And their biggest thing, because my brother's in high school, now fresh. Now fresh. That's all they talk about all day. And it gets on my nerves. Like, you can be as fresh as you want to be. You step outside and you sound dumb and can't get a job, that's not fresh. And the ladies don't want you. Nobody wants a dumb fresh nigga. Like,
you know what's not fresh? Looking like $1 million, but not having a cent in your pocket.
Exactly.
Get with it. You cannot walk around flossing if you do not have education behind you, if you don't have anything to offer your society, your community. First of all, when you graduate, you have your cap and gown, and what that symbolizes is unity. The cap being the book of knowledge on top of your dome piece, and your gown, unity. Uniforms should be implemented everywhere.
And I agree, and the other thing that I wanted to talk about was the No Child Left Behind Act. We discussed that on part one of the State of Our Children's Education, and we expanded upon what it is and what it's about. But I don't know if you ladies know or, you know, the listeners are aware. The IEP that we talked about, the reason in the MCAS, the reason why all of these things are brought to the forefront now, especially the MCAS, is because in 1993, you know, when the No Child Left Behind Act was kind of like implemented, they set standards for, you know, children to succeed. And the MCAS was put into place so that the children can succeed. That's why they monitor them so much. And, you know, George Bush had this great idea. But obviously, you know, years later, has it been effective? And I personally do not think so.
And that's what it is. That's what. On that note, I'm going to bring in a caller real quick. And Felicia Sabri, you're still on. Caller, your number is blocked. You're live with the Street Queens. State your business, player. Caller? Hello? Hello, caller? You're live with the Street Queens. Hello? You've been waiting real patiently. Hello?
They probably just want to listen to the show.
Okay, all right. Well, I guess you just want to listen to the show. But we thank you, caller. All righty, then. Let's move on.
Lush, you know what stands out to me about No Child Left Behind Act? The fact that it requires that the schools distribute the name, the home, phone number, and the address of every student enrolled to the military recruiters.
Wow.
Unless a parent
opts out, their information will be submitted to military recruiters.
Wow.
That,
no wonder they're sitting there bad hard
out to me. Yes.
Wow.
Posted outside the high schools, coming into the high schools. And don't get me wrong, my father's a Vietnam veteran. But let me tell you something. You in the military. You served for 8 years. And what happens when you leave the military? You can't find a job. You get treated like a second-class citizen. And the fact that they submit this information to the military is scary to me. That is very scary to me.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Well, obviously, I definitely have a lot of views. Like, I didn't know that they were submitting that to the military recruiters, especially for a president who said up and down, you know, we're not going to have a draft, and I definitely don't want to implement a draft. But it seems like he was definitely putting everything in place to try and implement a draft. As far as the No Child Left Behind Act is concerned, that was put in place to not discriminate against disabled students as opposed to average students, because when you based on the who were in special ed classes were mainly your minorities, African Americans and Latinos were filling up those classrooms, and it's all because of the different types of, again, labels that were put on students, whether you would call, like, you had an impairment or a disability. You know, it all had to do with the wording, and who was winding up in those classes were mainly your minorities, and that was basically discrimination, because if you want a child who has a disability to exude excellent behavior, you need to put them around people who can display that in other children who have those qualities. And basically the No Child Left Behind Act was supposed to put them back in the classroom, but at the same time assign those teachers to go into those classrooms and make sure that those IEPs and the teachers are working together to make sure that that child is learning and picking up on the same things that the average student is picking up on and learning in their classes. And then to say that some children just aren't going to learn as fast, but it was in an effort to expose them to the same types of material and not be viewed as discrimination. I think where the No Child Left Behind Act failed significantly was because of the budget cut which Bush put in place. And the fact that he had, which was over a $3 billion cut, by the way, but in addition to that, it was a poorly written plan that, you want to include everybody and you want to promote inclusion, but at the same time, you didn't tell the states how to implement inclusion. And that's where people got confused at, and school systems got confused at, how do we achieve this unified classroom where each child is exposed to the material and we adjust it so that they can get it and it is possible for them to achieve what the other students are achieving. That is something that still needs to be worked out. I don't think that the No Child Left Behind Act is a pointless act. It was a poorly written act that needs to be revamped, revised, and implemented from a national level with some actual rules and guidelines to follow. And that way we can begin to see those changes, because they wanted to try to have kids caught up by 2014, but at the rate we're going, without those revisions being made, we're not going to reach that goal of 2014. You know, you should not cut the budget for students and then expect them to excel. Now, also, Bush asked for $100 million to go towards expanding tutoring and vouchers to attend private schools for students in chronically failing schools. Of course, Congress rejected that in 2001, but that's something that he still wanted to try to pass, and that is wrong. You know, if those schools are failing, then you should put the money there. And that goes back to the issue with the callers and things about the economy, and that we definitely need to try to put more money back into public school facilities and stop outsourcing the funds and looking for loopholes to outsource the funds.
Go ahead, Javi.
Now, when we talk about the second issue, which is the dress code policy, I think that students should be allowed to wear what they want to wear, but the reason I say that is because people have a right to their own identity, but at the same time, parents have a responsibility to be parents. I don't care if your child is in high school. If you see them going out of your house and they went to the mall and they bought some pants that's two sizes too big, you're supposed to make them take it back. If that skirt is too short, you tear it up. You tell them you either take it back or I'm cutting it up. I mean, when I was growing up in my household, that kind of stuff wasn't tolerated. If you went out in public and you disobeyed a rule, my brother did that, and he actually took, my mom actually took all of his clothes, and he had to wear the same outfit for a whole week to school. Now, that definitely made an impact, and it stated that while you live in my house, you will abide by my rules, and you will show me some respect. And that goes to showing yourself some respect and looking like you are an intelligent, smart individual that I know that you are. And until parents make that stand with their children at home and stop putting all the pressure on the school system to do it for them, you're going to have problems with the way kids dress, because if you still let them wear it when they get out of school, designers are going to continue to make those types of garments that are distasteful and that we view as unacceptable.
Well, I don't think, I mean, Dorit, I don't think that the designers make disrespectful clothes, because they don't actually tell them to put the pants on their knees.
No,
I mean,
they
that's,
don't.
You know, they take the pants are done to be put above the waist. Now, they take the pants and put them on their knees.
Wait.
I mean, really. They the designers do underwears. They don't tell you to put the crotch part in the back or whatever. It's supposed to... It's designed to go a certain way, and they go and they turn it around. So it's like, you know, I don't think it's
the
designer.
Well, when it comes to young ladies.
Oh, real quick, y'all, man, Miss Toy phone about to die, man. And, if she dies down, I just let y'all heads up, man. She leave us, man, because of the phone, but we love you, Toy. But you still hang on until it goes dead, man. Hang on.
I'm trying.
Hold on, girl.
No, listen, ladies, I love y'all, and I have so much more to, you know, give, but I have to disconnect. But can I just say one brief thing before I leave? What we're doing right now is kind of setting an example for what I think that a lot of the young people need to do. They need to get together and advocate for change, raise awareness about the things that they think are important in their, you know, their generation for them to become the future leaders. A lot of the young people now are lost. They've lost their hope. They've lost their vision and their dreams. But us as young women, you know, young men that are positive and want to, you know, do something different, donate your time to be a big brother. Donate your time to go into the schools and volunteer. Donate your time at the Boys and Girls Club. Contribute something to change for them, because, you know, we've had our chance, you know, in high school. We've been there and done that, and now we're in our personal lives and pursuing our careers. But the children really need some strong, positive mentors. They need some people to look up to, and they need somebody to tell them that they're beautiful, they're strong, they're talented, and they can be creative and they can be leaders. And on that note, I'm going to disconnect. This has been a great topic. I love all of y'all, and I will talk to y'all next week. It's Miss Toy signing out.
Peace, Queen.
Right,
peace, Queen.
That's what it is. Felicia Sabree, man, how you feel about the subject over there? You out of the drive yet, dog?
Yeah, and I'm back. I came home. I got stuck behind the train and all that good stuff. So, the topic. Just, I'm trying to think. You guys, I missed a lot.
IPs, we spoke about IPs and just the
No Child Left
the state
Behind.
Of the, yeah, the No Child Left Behind law.
Dress code.
Okay, well, I actually had got some information up on the MCAS, but, you know, Ms. Toy gave us the rundown on that one. But basically, you know, I just want to say something inspiring. I really don't have nothing to elaborate. I think you guys have all, you know, said some great points. But, you know, I just want to encourage everybody in my area, you know, in Worcester, Massachusetts, to get involved with certain community action. There's the Boys and Girls Club. There's the Y. I mean, there's so many opportunities, but those places do need volunteers, more volunteers for these kids and, you know, to go out and, you know, actually try to bring in some of these high school kids and some of these elementary school kids and, you know, put a hand forth and let them know that they're available. But, you know, that's basically all I have to say, is just, you know, encourage everybody to be inspiring to somebody who is younger than them.
That's what it is, man. And on that note, like I said, man, parents, we got to be parents. Stop. Your child's friend, it's okay to be a friend, but you can't be their sister. You got to be a mother. You got to be a father, man. If you ain't wearing them little wedding pants that's so tight to his pants and he can't even walk, you need to tell him he need to change that. Mm-hmm. Don't nobody want to see your butt, you know? And if your girl is wearing the little booty cut, a little short thing that she knows she ain't supposed to wear, you need to tell her she need to get her act together. Be a mother, be a father, man. When it all comes down to it, it all goes back to home. Yes, I believe a uniform should be there. Because you know what? It's too much of a competition. It's too many kids getting killed. You know what I'm saying? I want kids to have their own individuality. But if they can't properly get their act together, yes, I believe, you know, uniform. But you can even make uniforms optional, you know. But on that note, man, hey, guys, let's talk about schools and the lack of funds in today's economy, girls. Ladies, how do you feel about this, Queen? Our economy and the lack of funds for these schools, man. Speak on it, sisters. Let's start off with your girl, Emma, man.
Why me? This week I didn't do no assignments, and I'm just like on fourth term right now. What is this, on purpose, like in front of the class type thing? All right. Well, again, I'm freestyling this week, and the only reason why I could get away with it is because I am a parent, so.
And you're Bronx born. Freestyling.
And I'm a, you know, concerned parent. Okay, this goes back to my child had an incident. My daughter had an incident in school. I'm not even going to get into what she did and what happened. But I went into the school, you know, you already know, armed up and all that. And, you know, to speak to the principal and all that, and it was a whole big thing. Either way, I got to speak to the principal. And while we were talking and all that, it was crazy how he started speaking. Like, everything was a problem. Like, in other words, in my daughter's class, the closet stays open. And that closet should remain closed because the children could go in there and anything could happen in there. You're not seeing what the kids are doing inside the closet. That, you know, that is a security problem. Mm-hmm. So I asked them to close, you know, why they can't keep it closed. You know why? Because as simple as they don't have funds to make copy of the key of the lock to give to the substitute teachers when they go in to lock it. Like as simple as things like that. They can't allocate money to make a copy of a key to lock the closet door. Because, you know what I'm saying? So they have one key and that stays locked. So if the teacher needs anything from the closet door, they have to stop the class, go into the office, get the key, come back out, get the paper, that's wasting time and all that. You know, he was telling me like how they're begging for volunteers, like the parents, you know, I mean, the economy now is hard. So parents got to have 2 and 3 jobs, and that's understandable. You know, you have to hold the family down, and bills got to be paid. But, you know, we also have an investment in our children's future, which is, you know, which we got to figure out a way where you can still have those jobs, but you still have to be some sort advocate or send someone in your place, or if you know there's a parent already going there, you know, speak with them and listen, call me on my cell phone and tell me what happened in the class or something. Fine, there's a will, there's a way. You could write letters. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do even if you can't be there physically. And everything, you know what, now they can't even have cake sales because the obesity with the children. You can't even have bake sales anymore. They can't even bake sales. They can't do bake sales. So they can't even, they can't even raise money that way anymore. So they're stopping them in school, you know, to be able, in ways where they used to make money before. At least I'm speaking over here in Philadelphia. I don't know, in your lady states. But here, because of the obesity thing, anything that requires, like, food, you can't do that.
Wow.
And before that, with, like, the cookie thing, the bake thing, that's like that, those are the big hitters.
Wow.
You can't do that over here anymore. So it's like their hands are tied. Like even the principal told me that he has a child that's in high school and for 3 weeks has a substitute teacher and he don't even have the adequate books that he needs. And mind you, he's a principal.
Wow.
Wow.
And he can't even get for his child that's in high school over there the books, the pop-up books they need, because there just are none.
And that's what it is, man. On that note, I'm going to bring in a caller real quick, man. Emma, I mean, without you doing some homework, you dropping some real jewels over there, Emma. For real.
Imagine if I would have studied that.
That caller at, man. Where that caller at, man? I guess that caller just said, oh, all right, man. So we're going to move on to Lucinda said, go ahead, man. Drop some jewels on her, man. How you feel about that?
You know what just, like, blew me out the box? The fact that it was something as little as a key, you know, for that closet. My thing is, like, isn't there a moral conflict? You know, like, I work at a school, and it's like, I wouldn't mind coming out of my pocket for, you know, I mean, a key. How much can a key cost? You know, can we get a key? I mean, what's the deal? Is there a moral conflict? You know what I'm saying? Like, look, you can't afford a key. I'll go buy a $5 key, a $10 key. I don't care. Let's get that door to work, you know?
No,
it's amazing. It's, and you know what? With this recession, it's like what really, really amazes me is the fact that we have the number one military in the world and our economy is in the hole. How do you explain that? Our school system is in the hole, but the military seems to be doing fine. $1 billion a month in war. How do you break that down?
Not even that, Lisette. Let me tell y'all some crazy stuff. They gave $84 million to AIG that were money launderers, right? And the next day after they got that money, they took their whole staff to the spa, right? But yet we in a crisis. Two, your people from GM and all these car business saying they go under. Well, these people was flying in jets to come
in
over
jets,
and ask for money.
Yeah, begging for money, flying in private
one
jets.
One of them. But you want some money, though.
Over
and
here
I'm
in Philadelphia,
cool.
I'm sorry, Lush. Over here in Philadelphia, they want to close the libraries. But I just seen in the news yesterday, they're getting ready to construct the biggest building there is in Center City. How you do that? How you find millions to put up a building, but you want to close our libraries? Because we don't have no money. So we ain't got no money for libraries. We shouldn't be having no money to be doing no damn buildings for no hotels and none of that.
Wow.
No, man, that's great. Javita, how you feel about that, Javita?
I mean, I definitely agree with that it is a shame that we spend so much money on the military and in other professions, but we don't spend that in terms of the economy budget when it comes up to the school systems, like when you deal with teachers' pay. And that has a lot to me to do with the lack of qualified teachers in public schools. Teachers have the hardest job that is, and that's to educate our future leaders of this country. And to me, they should be getting as much pay. I mean, we give doctors their due because, you know, we're fixing hearts, we're saving lives, but teachers save lives as well. And some of that money that you're spending in GE and spending in the military, you should definitely be spending that on your teachers and increasing their salary pay. All this has shown me is that the money is there. All they're doing is not using it for the purposes that it should go to. There is no reason that teachers should be so underpaid and having to deal with the types of stress that they have to deal with in the classroom just to educate our students so that they can be successful and grow up to be the type of people that they should and could become in order to run this country. Now, I know that we had moved on, but when we were talking earlier about policies, with the whole zero tolerance issue, that is basically about students' misbehavior. But for me, the way this ties in to me for education is, did you all know that for youth charged with violent offenses, the average length of incarceration is 193 days for whites, 254 days for African Americans, and 305 days for Latino youth.
What?
Wow.
Yes. Why is the difference, everybody?
See, when we are out of school for that long a time period, that increases the amount of students who drop out of high school because they've fallen so far behind, and they can't fill in that type of gap. And that's the major problem with this policy. It's not just the building of criminal records. It's the amount of school and education that these children are being denied on a day-to-day basis. And it could be something for minor infractions, like a 17-year-old junior shot a paperclip across the classroom and it accidentally pierced the skin of a cafeteria worker, and that student was expelled from school. Now, to me, yeah, that was wrong, but an I'm sorry could have worked just as well and not say you get to spend on an average of 254 days out of school because you're African-American or 305 if you're Latino. That is outrageous.
Yeah, where are these rules coming from? I mean,
yeah, who sets these rules, man? That's crazy, man. Felicia Sabree, how do you feel on this, man? Drop some jewels, Felicia Sabree.
It's just real unfortunate, the state of our economy. I mean, I agree with everybody. We are a very wealthy country, and the amount of funding that goes into education, like, you know, like he said, we just get the bottom of the stick, like, and that's where it starts with movements like the Street Queens and everybody else out there doing your thing. It starts with us. If they're not going to put up the money, we're going to have to do it. And like I said, we got to build our race up. You know, the recession in the economy, it is what it is. But, you know, change is going to come from us doing these movements and encourage other people to get together in your communities and reach out and start your movements and make money and everybody get in the industry. Everybody do what they got to do, build their movement, build our race up, you know, and we're just going to have to change the game.
And support one another.
Support one another. That's another thing. No hateration. Everybody
no hateration. Support your Latino sisters, your Black sisters, your Asian sisters, because we all bleed the same. We all bleed red, and we're all the same inside. We want the best for our community.
But we have to support our sons and our husbands and our partners too, because if they don't elevate, then we really
there's a lot of nonsense that goes on. Ignorant people, please listen. Stop all the nonsense.
For real. And on that note, I'm bringing a caller again. 17, you're live in the building with the Street Queen. Speak on it.
Yeah. What's up? This is Presto D-Star once again. And, again, I'm listening to the show. I'm like the format and everything. But one thing that stands out, you know, you're talking about the dropout rate. You're talking about the absentee rate. You have to keep in mind that both the absentee rate and the dropout rate is relevant and coincides with the financial status of the family that's going to these schools. An impoverished family who has to basically find a job or, you know, has to make ends meet. A lot of times these teenagers, they dropping out of school because they got to make money. And I can't stress enough that each and every one of you begin petitions in each and every one of your cities to implement financial literacy courses within the curriculums in the school. Our kids need to be financially educated. If we're not financially educated, it will be a cycle that will never end.
I know that in my high school we had a class called Jobs for Bay State, and I was like, all right, let me take that class. That was like the only class that was geared to what's going to happen in the real world, you know, filling an application out and knowing about credit and things like that. Like, they definitely need those courses, you know, in the curriculum. That's a must.
There's a book by Robert Kiyosaki called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I highly recommend that book because after reading it, I was a little more aware of my spending, of my saving, and how to invest and how to get into these pyramid companies that enable you to make extra money on the side and how to invest. You know, I mean, real estate, I think, is one of the best ones to get into, but that's a whole other subject. Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Well, since we're all going to be homeowners, big houses, we'll talk about that in the
show. To the market status in regards to real estate and everything, the best move right now is to work on it like next year. It's going to back up, but right now it's kind of still kind of slim and shaky, so it would be that move to dealing with real estate, because I kind of deal with some realtors. And at the same time, on that note, in regards to, you know, the school that I work at, the high school, they actually have the actual future business leaders They got a course right there, how to fill out your resume, how to write a business plan, how to do all that. They actually have that at this high school that I work at, which I believe that all schools should have that. Even in the communities, they should have free classes like that for people to know how to write a business. Some people don't know how to write a business plan or a proposal or just different things that you need.
Or a resume. Or even a resume.
A resume.
Yes, a resume.
Mm-hmm. See, but we have, the educational system has this worker bee mentality. They educate our kids to be that worker bee. And if we're not financially educated, we're never going to learn how to be independent. We're just going to learn how to be just another cog in somebody else's wheel, be another secretary on somebody's desk, and just get somebody else rich and fulfill another person's dream. And that all comes from the lack of financial literacy. We have to implement financial literacy within the curriculum, not as an elective, but as a requirement.
But that's exactly true, my brother. Street Queens, the movement, and Lush Radio, the show, always support independent entrepreneurs, and we always try to give literacy to our youth to let them know what they need in order to be a businesswoman or a businessman, because all I do is work with bosses. Every woman on this panel has their own business, and we tell the youth, you can call us, write us, and tell us if you don't know how to start your own business in LLC, we'll give you the tools that you need to do it. We'll give you every bit of information you need to succeed. That's what we're here for. If we ain't educating you, then we're doing our job.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I feel that. Well, I'm going to sign off on that. You know, keep doing what y'all doing, and I'm going to keep listening to your show. You have a great show, man.
Thank you.
I'd like to say something in regards to what the caller said. I definitely agree that because even in private school, we had mandatory to take financial planning and accounting. Those were mandatory courses, or you couldn't graduate. And that's something that should be in public schools. And the other reason they talk about why are private schools so much better is because they're actually 2 years ahead of your public school. When you talk about a seventh grader, they're really a ninth grader by public school standards. And that's something that we need to work on is in terms of making sure that our students come up to par with private school standards so that they are on the same level and exposed to the same types of material by the time they graduate. You know, because it is sad and unfortunate until we change that mindset, you know, that slave mentality of keep the body strong and keep the mind weak. You know, we're going to keep being and finding ourselves in the same position that we've been in so far because, you know, to me there's nothing sexier than a person's mind. I mean, if a brother can't think,
that is true.
What's he good for?
I love
that is true.
If
he can't make love to my mind, then
exactly.
We have a problem.
We're not making love at all.
We have a problem.
So strong right there.
Same time people... talk our communities. We need to start supporting these teachers. Teachers need to get the support. Administration that are in the schools need to support these teachers, okay? Parents, you need to be parents, okay? Communities, like they said, it take a whole village to raise a child. We really need to get that mindset back, and we need to start all of these extracurricular activities from these students. They need something positive to get into. Won't get into all this negativity, man. Stop taking everything away from these children and give them what they need. They need an education. Stop stripping them of what they need, man. Give them books. Give them what they do. Community, churches, you got these mega churches, got money. Take the money out the pocket and to a school. Donate to a school, man. I'm asking you donate to a school. They need the books, man. These kids are being denied. And stop separating. Just because you're in the suburbs doesn't mean that an inner city school requires the same benefits and same needs that you guys get in the suburbs, man. You know what I mean? We need to work together, man. And on that note, okay, we as adults encourage and inspire our children to be great. Encourage them every single day because they look up to you and they need you. Encourage your child. Be there for them. Parenting at home. Take control. Take back control of your home. Be a mother, be a father, man.
They need to learn about their roots also.
They need to learn about their ancestors. They need to know about our history, because our history is not just 1 month out of the year. That's every day. That's what we experience everywhere we go. And they really need to be in tune with where they came from, where their grandparents and great-grandparents came from, and what they fought for, you know, fighting for women to fight, vote, you know, just being a person of ethnic background. You couldn't learn how to read. You know, if you did learn how to read, if you knew how to read, you had to cover it up. They need to know where they came from, the backgrounds, what their ancestors did to get that right to learn, to go to school. They really need to recognize that, you know what, not everybody can drop out of high school and be a Henry Ford who dropped out of high school and became, matter of fact, I think he didn't pass the fourth grade. And he happened to, you know, found, you know, the Ford company. You can't be a Christina Aguilera who dropped out of high school and became this singer. Not everybody has that potential, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just have to go to school, do what you do, go to college, focus on what you like, become a doctor, become a lawyer, become, you know, your business owners.
Do what you do, man.
You can be that lucky.
Do what you do. Obama didn't do that. You know, just to do it, man, he had to go through trials and tribulations, but he did it. If you didn't have hope before, man, have hope now, man. You got to have hope in yourself. And parents, man, participate in school with the discipline of your child, man. Go there and shadow your child around and see what are their wrongs and their rights. See what they need, man. Into the school. Don't never let work be so busy for you that you can't take that little bit to check on your child, man, even if it's 1 or 2 days. Please, I beg you, man, and please, we got programs that you guys can look up to check out for your kids, man. Your baby can read. It's only $100 for your little babies to learn how to read by the time they get to the four years old, man. Look it up. Your baby can read, man, so we can encourage this. Rebecca Books, man. Check out Rebecca Books, man. You can basically, it's your teacher's CD, man. You can look at it just in case when your teacher gets tired and they don't want to repeat it, you got it on books. Check that out, man. Freedom Schools, look that up, man. It's another source. Man, Read Around America, check that out, man. I mean, it's a lot of things, man. You guys got to Google it up. You guys spend your time to go on MySpace. You guys take your time to go on Google just for nonsense. You take your time. Look up the stuff that your children need. Please. Participate in the PTAs, man, and go in there and do something. Make a change, man. Real talk, man. And on that note, man, because CG couldn't be here, man, I need one of you guys. Well, Lissette is the new one. So you go ahead and sum up the whole show for us, baby girl. Shut up. Show up. Go ahead and sum it up for us, man, for all these callers and listeners, man. Lissette.
We're waiting.
Lissette.
You got to do the summary of the show. You was listening.
That was my cue.
Yes, your cue.
How do I summarize? I'm new.
Lissette, you're going to get that responsibility next week, man. Go
please.
Ahead. Go
Let
ahead,
me
Emma.
Learn from the great leaders.
Javita, the great Javita, summarize.
Okay, to summarize this show. What we learned was the importance of children's education and the great need for us to learn the three different types of learning styles and the importance of IEPs, not just for persons with disabilities, but for every single student who attends school so that they can get the proper amount of help that they need. We learned that we needed to work on the zero tolerance policy, that there are things like that need revamping, like zero tolerance and no child left behind. We talked about the problems in the economy and the school budget, that you can look up and Google and go to your lobbyists and advocate for these particular issues. And basically, check out our show and know what's going on. We also talked about how parents can encourage and inspire their children, that it is so important for us to break the cycle of injustice that goes on in this country. And we start with doing that by first bringing our attention back to our children, our number one priority in this life. and definitely that we needed to get involved with PTAs because without being involved in parent-teacher associations to know what's going on in your child's life, you can't begin to know and make a difference for them. It starts in the home, and it just get involved and be an activist. Be an activist for your family. Be an activist for yourself.
And that's what it is, man. Thank you for that song. But that doesn't mean that you guys ain't going to get that responsibility the next couple of days. So don't even act like you don't know.
I love the way Javita says it, though.
They definitely need to look out for that. Because we're going to talk about dating swagger, right?
Oh, wait a minute. One quick thing. My sixth annual Give Thanks dinner. Did anybody?
Okay.
Anybody?
Right there. Street Queens, okay. We got a lot of projects, man. We got the Christmas for the prisoners, man. We need those Christmas cards, send them in so we can show them prisoners, though, that we still got, you know, we're thinking about them outside of the bars, and they doing their thing, man. And also, man, Street Queens, we doing the Christmas drive, you know what I'm saying, for the kids, man, trying to get the toys for the tots. And we also adopting the family, helping them out with the Christmas. We're doing this the National National Adoption Month, man. Donating the teddy bears for the kids that's been adopted. You know, they go from place to place. They never have like nothing really hold on to. So that's why we donate the teddy bears, man. And y'all need to go ahead and send those to Street Queens P.O. Box 1512, Capitol Heights, Maryland 20731-052. Make sure you send those teddy bears, man. Make sure they're intact. And, Wednesday, November 26th. 2008, Emma, E2K Magazine, along with DiamondInTheCity.net, along with Lush Radio Online, along with Street Queens, The Movement.
The Ab Records.
You know, they're having a gift dinner, man. Free food, you know what I'm saying? Thanksgiving, come up on. And we also would like people to donate if they can turkey, food, plates, whatever you can do. For this, man, we giving thanks to people. And for those who don't have a chance to get a meal or you need a meal for Thanksgiving, don't have no family, come in. The location is 1217 Stratford Avenue, second floor, Bronx, New York, 10472. Telephone number is 718-328-0739. The fax number is 718-328-5349. Time is from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Make sure, please, that you try to help with this situation. Sponsored by E2K Magazine, The Avenue Records, Soundview Community in Action, www.diamondsinnercity.net, along with Street Queens The Movement, along with Lush Radio Online. It's not a game. Get proactive. Get motivated. Nadine is down in South Carolina. For families helping families, food drive, log on to www.blackdiamondpromotions.com and you'll see all the information, man. Or send the stuff to us at P.O. Box 31512, Capitol Heights, Maryland, 207-310512, man. Make sure y'all send your letters. Also, shout out to Dara. She's doing Jaden's Closet. You know, trying to send Christmas cards to the patients out there that's going through cancer, man. Shout out to her. Like I said, once again, P.O. Box 31512, Capitol Heights, Maryland, 20731-0512, man. Make sure y'all send those donation cards. Get activated, get motivated, man. No thanks. Give thanks, man. Shout out our blogs. Make sure y'all blog us, leave comments, all that, man. Thanks to all our sponsors, our callers, our listeners. We thank you for your support, the people we didn't get to. Sorry. Well, we apologize. We'll try to get to you next time. Look to our show. Spread the word, man. We're sending a positive message that makes sense to you, me, your children, and everything, man. And the Street Queens mission statement tweet is, our mission statement is to empower and support the diverse needs of people. Our creed is Street Queens are here to show our future leaders the way thinking and talking like struggles every day. Like the sands of time, we are an inescapable entity, bringing light into dark places and fulfilling
despair and hope.
feeling despair with hope. My bad. But, yeah. Love y'all. Good night. I love you, queens. Same
peace,
time,
queen.
Same place. Each and every Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. Street Queens, we're signing out. I love you. I love you, all you queens. Toy, everybody.
Peace, queen.
Love you, too.
All of y'all, man. And happy birthday, Polo. You know who it is. Shout out to Rolly.
He did it.
You know what I mean? I love y'all, man. For real. This was a hot show, baby. Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Caliente.
Caliente.
Happy
Thanksgiving. Give thanks. Don't forget to give thanks.
Give thanks.
Yes,
and
have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And happy birthday to my brother, whose birthday is on Thanksgiving.
Man, happy birthday, bruh. Mom, I say. And I love her too, Javita.
I will.
Of all y'all. And thank you, Lissette, for being the new.
Yes, welcome,
Lissette. Yes.
What it is, man.
I have another Latin sister on the panel. Yay, yay, yay!
No, you guys are great. All right, girls.
Y'all later, man.
Peace, y'all.
Peace. We're going to leave that, man. The Street Queens, man. All hail the Street Queens, man.
All hail the Street Queens and all that we stand for.